Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome back to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast. I'm Georgia Jones and I'm your host for this week. So this week I spent a lovely mummy Sunday with Cooper, but I beat myself up about it later on in the evening because towards the end of our lovely day together, my attention went. I started thinking about things I needed to do, things I hadn't done, people I needed to get back to, and I didn't feel fully present. And I've actually been beating myself up about it ever since. But what I'm hoping is lots of you are going to message me and say you do the same thing. But what I am going to do in future is put my phone on flight mode and ignore the world whilst I'm with my little boy. So that is what I'm going to do moving forward. Anyway, today's guest on Mum's the Word is Kerry Northcott, better known as Life with Ivy Coco on Instagram. She is a mum, professionally trained makeup artist, skilled seamstress, and has a love for all things fashion and interiors. Her fashion style is fabulous. Give her a follow purely for that. She currently has one little girl, Ivy, with her husband, but has been open about her desire for another child on social media alongside her struggles with that. So welcome to the podcast, Kerry. So lovely to have you on.
I'm glad to be here.
Yay! So, Kerry.
Yes.
I've already done the big intro. By the way, I did not know you used to be a makeup artist.
Yes, I did.
I always think whenever I watch you on Instagram, God, she's really good at doing her makeup.
Thank you.
How talented.
I'm probably really sweaty in here now.
No, you look gorgeous. I always think you do a really good eye. You do a really good, like, flick.
Thank you. Practice makes perfect. But I know. I used to do mainly bridal, and then I really wanted to get into special effects, but then it was put everything into a career or have a baby.
Yeah.
So,
and then
baby
we've
one.
Got to make these choices. Yes. So you've got one little girl.
Yes.
Ivy.
Yes.
Who is how old now?
She's going to be 10 in July.
She's going to be 10.
Goodness, I can't quite believe that. It's quite daunting.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it mad, like, how much they grow up? I saw you posted, like, a video of her when she was, like, little.
Oh,
I can't remember what she was doing. She was putting lipstick on.
I know. And now it's, like, so weird because she's asked to have, like, a dressing table in her room for, like, to do her hair. And I've started noticing, like, the other day she had a friend's party and she went to put on a bit of eyeshadow. And I was like, where did she get that eyeshadow brush from? She's got a Bobbi Brown eyeshadow brush. She's got it out of my drawer.
Has she?
And, like, my brushes and, like, my hair wax is now, like, in her. Like, I've started to notice, like, all my things that go missing and turning up in her room. And it's, like, we've come full circle of when she would just play. And now it's, like,
and now it's not play.
Now it's not real life. Now she's, like, I'll do my own hair now. And I'm, like,
oh,
I'm not ready for this.
God, it's so cute. Yeah. I remember that's, like, one of my fondest memories when I was a little girl, was watching my mum do her makeup.
Yeah.
And her, like, teaching me, even though she wasn't particularly amazing, I just thought she was. I was like, wow, as in amazing at her makeup, she is amazing. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. I remember she gave me this palette that was like her prized possession.
Oh.
She handed it down to me, and I was literally, honestly, it was the best present I think I've ever got. It was just brilliant.
Oh.
Moving on from makeup. Now, Kerry, one of the big reasons I wanted to get you on the podcast is because you have been and are on a journey of becoming a mother for a second time, or wanting to become a mother for a second time.
Yeah.
So for anybody that doesn't follow you or doesn't know your journey, can you give us a little kind of lowdown on what's going on and where you're at in your journey?
Yes. It was really weird because when I was pregnant with Ivy, I was like, I'm just going to have one.
Yeah. Like, did you? Yeah. So that was always your...
I was always just going to have one because financially, like... we were comfortable, we was fine, like we could have like afford to have like one little holiday a year and cover the bills and do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was just like, I just think financially we're better off just having one.
That was your comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wanted her to have like as much as a nice life as what I could give her.
Yeah.
Then I obviously had her. Then just before she turned four, we decided that we was going to... try and we wanted another one.
Yeah.
Like our situation's just changing financially, and I was like, no, you know, like I don't feel done. Like I feel like I want to grow our family and for her to have a brother or sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I stupidly thought, and I remember, I never forget what my husband said to me. He was like, I've got a feeling we might have a struggle this time. And it took me 6 months to fall pregnant with Ivy.
Did it? Right.
And I was like, do you think? And then I remember the first month of trying, in my head, I was like, I think we're pregnant.
Yeah, yeah, like you do.
Like
I mean,
an absolute nutter.
You think you always think you're pregnant when you're trying, don't
always.
You? Like, oh, my boobs are a bit sore.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
The thing, the symptoms are exactly the same.
It's period, right?
Yeah, exactly the same. And if you have an eye twitch and you Google, I've got an eye twitch, does that mean I'm early pregnancy symptom? It's like, yes, that is.
The symptoms
I just sneezed twice today. Is that yes, that is.
That is pregnancy.
There's a symptom out there for like, everything is a symptom in early pregnancy. Yeah,
absolutely.
So you send yourself mad with it. Anyway, here we are, nearly 6 years.
Jesus Christ.
Into it, which is mental. And for a long time, I was like, no, I'm fine. Like, work's taking off. I'm getting to travel. And, you know, like, we're trying, but, like, not obsessively trying.
Yeah.
And then I remember I went to the doctors and I was like, okay, it's been two years now.
Right, 2 years.
I'm still not pregnant.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on. It was just before, actually, was it 2 years or 3 years? I can't even remember now. The pandemic also put it all into a blur. It was just before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I remember they sent me for some blood tests, and I remember driving back from the hospital and realising that we fell under the category of, like, infertility issues and secondary infertility.
Right.
And I remember driving back down the road, and it just hitting me, like... shit, like,
this is real,
like, facing up to it instead of just being like, it's fine, you know, like, it's just the universe, it's just not right for us yet, and then actually facing up to the fact, actually, like, this isn't happening for us and we've got problems and it could be something.
I think when someone tells you as well, when somebody says you fall into that category, I think a lot of people, they always have that, like, hope of, oh, it's just timing, it's just we're being unlucky, maybe, you know, we're not having sex at the right time and all these things, and actually then when somebody tells you and you're like, oh, okay, so this is real then, this is actually happening,
and like, and then actually having to realize that we've now got this whole journey ahead of us.
Yeah.
And I suffered so hard in lockdown. So hard.
Well, because not only was lockdown just bloody hard in general and lonely and completely unknown and just hideous, you've then got all that added stress of the falling under the infertility category. They wouldn't class you as like completely infertile, you're just in the category of it not being
it's just not happening. And it was very much like, you know, you're young, sure, it will happen, just relax, we'll run some tests.
How do you feel when somebody says to you, just you need to relax?
I want to punch them in the face.
I can imagine.
And I think the thing with lockdown as well is that we all sort of lost our identities. And I was stuck with my faults, and my best friend at the time was pregnant. And I just would, like, be on the phone and, like, I was so happy for her, but then also at the same time, like, but then get off the phone and my heart would absolutely break for myself.
Yeah.
And I remember laying there once and he walked in and there's nothing, he's got better over the years at knowing that there's nothing to say. He just needs to show up for me and like give me a hug and allow me to rant and have my emotions.
Just hold you, really.
I remember he turned around to me and was like, oh, do you think it's because when we was 18, you'd had two terminations.
Oh.
And I was like, I can't believe you just said that to me.
Oh, God, I bet you wanted to divorce him there and then.
He's definitely over. Yeah, he's definitely, like, learned over time, like, how to be with me. And then in lockdown, I went to the doctors and said, like, I actually think I'm depressed. Yeah. I am not coping at all with it. I think it was it after lockdown? I can't remember. But they'd basically told me she had a grin on her face. And when, oh, maybe just lose a bit of weight.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You're joking.
No. And then...
Was this a GP?
Yeah, GP.
Wow.
And I just don't think they're geared up for it.
Do you know what? I think some of them do not have the social skills either. No. Like, I remember, so my sister's a doctor.
Yeah.
And when I went to visit her at university, the amount of people studying medicine, I was like, God, if I came up against you in a GP surgery.
Yeah.
Like, God forbid, because they've got categorising. A lot of people there, that intelligent.
Yeah.
Don't have great social skills.
And I just think as well with fertility, they're still so dated about it.
Yeah. Oh, so dated. Like, because we don't get research done on us. Women are like at the back.
Oh God, and this is why I talk about it, because like we have to really advocate for ourselves for testing.
Yeah.
And one of the things that she said to me as well, which I mean, you just have to laugh about, is she said that, you know, like you could have another child doesn't mean that your daughter and that child are going to get on.
What's that got to do with anything?
And I was like, listen, I know this, but that is irrelevant. What the hell are you actually coming out with? It was just bizarre. So at that point,
was she a mother? Did you ask her? Did you say, do you have children?
No, because I was literally sitting there an absolute wreck, and I've got this woman sort of smiling at me, telling me to lose weight, and that they probably wouldn't. It's not guaranteed that they're going to get on and like each other anyway.
Wow. I mean,
in shock about it all. So, yes. Yeah, so then I was able to get referred to Kingston, who I have to say, their fertility department, and it's such a postcode lottery, have been incredible. Mm. Like the calls and the support, even today, like they are just such a wonderful, wonderful team, and I'm very, very grateful for them. They sent me for a high cozy.
What's that?
So basically, they go in and they fill your tubes with a foam to see if there's any blockages.
Right, right.
But the issue with this is that your body sort of like can protect itself and close up.
Ah, okay.
So it can look like there's a blockage, but there may not be. It would just be like a contraction. So like your body's like, this is foreign, like, and sort of tenses up because it's really painful.
Oh gosh, was
horrendous.
It? Were you fully awake then when that happened? Right, okay.
Yeah, fully awake when that goes on.
Yeah.
And mine did that. So I went, then had to go in for a colposcopy.
Mm.
To go inside and see.
Yeah.
And I had some old endometriosis scarring. I'd had a flare-up when I was younger.
Right.
But then they said there wasn't any blockages. So technically there's no reason why
you shouldn't.
Now that we shouldn't be getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward more time.
Yeah.
I did some research into Clomid, which is a medication for women that suffer with polycystic ovaries or like just don't ovulate.
Yeah.
And there was information saying that even if you do ovulate, this can also help with trying to get pregnant if you're having issues.
Because at this point, you kind of just left with, there's nothing else we can do.
Yeah, because they've gone in and looked and they're like, everything's fine, so...
Everything looks fine.
There's no reason.
There's no reason. Right, and your partner had been checked as well.
Came back, the doctor was like, these are the best results I think I've ever seen.
Did that make you want to punch him as well a little bit? Because you're like, oh, well done you.
Like, that's great. And he was like, oh, really?
Look at me. Yeah.
Like a proper lad, like dead chuffed that he's got super sperm.
Yeah.
So he'd been checked fast, lots of them, all good.
Yeah.
So no reasoning with him. So that's when I did the research into the Clomid, and I pushed, and they was like, but you ovulate, we don't think you need it. I was like, I don't care, can we just try it? And fortunately, they was like, yes, you
Great.
Can only have 6 rounds of it
okay.
as a woman.
Right, I got
because
you.
Because of the effects of it.
Well done for pushing. I think that's something like that anyone listening should be aware of. Push.
You
ask
have
for
to
it.
Advocate for yourself.
You have to.
You can't just sit back and rely that these doctors who look after X amount of people are going to be out there advocating for you, because they're not. They're doing their job.
Yeah.
And that's...
And they're overworked, underpaid, understaffed.
Yeah.
Not every doctor's wonderful, but, you know, the majority of them are. And, like, my sister always says to me, she's like, you need to ask for that.
Yeah.
They have to prescribe it for you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, well, I've never been given that option. She and Lauren, my sister, is always like, well, no, because that probably costs a lot more than this does.
Exactly.
You know, I got put on a pill that I shouldn't have been on because it's cheap. I was like, I should
that's
be on
so
this
bad,
one.
Isn't
and
it?
And it was a struggle to get the one that I should have been on.
Yeah.
Purely because it was really expensive.
That's why I'm saying, like, you have to advocate for yourself. You have to do, and even, like, you can't even just go off with, like, when I talk about stuff, I don't want other women to just go off what I'm saying.
Mm.
This is what I researched and this is what I felt was going to work for me.
Yeah.
She was like, okay, we'll do it. Here's the Clomid.
Yeah.
I did 4 months. The side effects were horrendous.
And how do you take it?
So you take it on the second day of your cycle.
Yeah. And is it a tablet?
It's a tablet. So you take it to like for like 3 to 5 days on the second day of your cycle. And this is supposed to overstimulate your ovaries. So this month I've been on it. I did 4 months and then I'd had a chemical pregnancy with it. So I took a break from it because it's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Is there side effects to it then?
It affects your eyesight.
Oh, wow.
You basically are a raging lunatic. They call it the Clomid crazies because it does something to your brain.
Does it?
Where it makes your body think that you're not, correct me if I'm wrong, releasing any of the hormone to ovulate.
Right, okay.
So it over-releases, so it overstimulates.
So your hormones are probably like going...
Yeah,
absolutely
it's,
wild.
I'll be laughing and then the next second I'm crying and he literally walks in and he's like, I'm going to go to the gym now.
He's like, okay, I'll go back out, shall I?
But this month I was like, I'd done it those 4 times and I'd had an early miscarriage, which anyone who isn't trying for a baby would just think their periods come late.
Yeah, okay, but you knew.
Because I'm obviously, I test on sticks like nobody's business and I was having positives. So we knew that... Okay, I don't fall pregnant that easily, but we know I can fall pregnant. It's just not sticking.
Not sticking. Mm.
So I did some more research. Oh, in between this, I decided to crash diet and lose 2 stone because they told me to lose weight and then that
told
would happen.
You.
Didn't happen.
No.
Put the most of the weight back on.
Oh, well, you look fabulous.
Obviously.
Like,
thank you.
I mean, the fact someone ever told you to lose weight is mind blowing.
Because
to me.
They run off the BMI.
Yeah. Well, you could have big tits.
Yes.
Like, it could be anything.
It's definitely not me.
Yeah, it's not me. Mine's my ass.
Yes,
I'm always like, I think I've just got heavy bones. It's my bones.
Yeah, it's my bones, yeah.
But honestly, BMI is so, so ridiculous.
Yeah, they just go off the BMI. Mm. So did that in between. So I researched into more tests that I could do.
Mm-hmm.
Blood tests that aren't necessarily overly invasive. And I found out ones that you could find that could have show up whether you've got an issue with your blood that's affecting pregnancy sticking and falling pregnant.
Yeah.
So there's 3 tests that they're supposed to do and they then run the tests again 3 months later because you can get false positives.
Okay.
So when I got back from being away in June last year.
Yeah. So did you just go away for like a reset? Were you just going off to...
I'm always going away for a reset.
I'm a massive advocate of that. We've just been talking about that off air, haven't we?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going home to be mummed by my mother.
Yes, because, 100%. Yeah. Because you need to switch off from reality sometimes and I will never be not grateful for the privilege that one, that's something that I get through my work with Instagram, but one that we can also afford to do as a family.
Yeah.
And I can take myself away from the stress and the struggle of fertility stuff.
Yeah.
And switch off.
Try and switch off.
Just sort of be me. And like, it's such a routine as well for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember the last time we had sex because we actually wanted to.
Oh, God.
You know?
Yeah, and that's just a bloody killer as well, isn't it?
Oh, it just takes the fun out of
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And even for him, I know he's, like, starting to struggle.
Is he? Oh, God.
Like,
I can't do it anymore.
Okay.
I know my sperm is super, but again, really?
Literally. Yeah. So I found out about these tests. So we literally got back from holiday, and the next day I went and had these blood tests.
Right.
Which then I always found like going to the hospital over long when I hadn't been there recently was also such an emotional trigger, because it's also the same hospital I had Ivy in.
Right. It's scarring. Like it's really hard going back to somewhere that has like all these fond memories, but also is full of like heartbreak.
Dread.
Like, yeah. Oh, this again.
And like just a reminder that you've got fertility issues and you can't, and you grow up your whole life being told if you have sex you're going to fall pregnant.
Oh my god.
If you
honestly
don't use contraception you're going to fall pregnant.
Honestly, I mean I've got a boy, but if I had a girl I'd be definitely hammering that into her, because it does stop you.
Yeah.
However, like, yeah, I was the same. It took me five months to fall pregnant. And I was panicking within those 5 months. I was like, I mean, they tell you, you can just like get a bit of spunk on your knee and you'd get pregnant. And
well, this is the thing with it as well. It doesn't matter how long you have been trying. Yes, someone that's been trying for X amount of years, it's harder and it's worse, but it's still horrendous. Even when you're trying and it doesn't happen in the first 3 months, the first month, that 2 week wait of where you can't be productive and proactive into trying to get pregnant.
Yeah.
And you just have to hope that everything aligns and it's going to happen is absolute torture.
Because even after that first month of trying, actively trying, you cannot help but go to that place that goes, oh my God, maybe I can't get pregnant.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm infertile.
Yeah.
Instantly. I'm pretty sure everybody that hasn't got pregnant first month.
Because we're conditioned that have sex, you'll get pregnant.
Yeah, yeah.
That's far from what actually happens.
Yeah, it really is.
There's so much that has to align for that to happen, so...
Do you have an insatiable fascination with the paranormal? Brace yourself, for the supernatural world is about to reveal all of its secrets on the Paranormal Activity Podcast. And who better to guide you through this hair-raising journey than myself, Yvette Fielding, renowned paranormal investigator. Every episode of Paranormal Activity takes you on an unforgettable adventure into the unknown. But that's not all. The true heart of this podcast lies in the stories, evidence, and questions shared by our devoted listeners. Will you dare to join me? Listen to Paranormal Activity with me, Yvette Fielding, wherever you get your podcasts from.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So you had these tests done.
So I had these tests done, and then I was supposed to get the results, they said, in a few weeks.
Mm.
Sort of just went along, lived my summer.
And did you though, or were you like, was it all consuming? Is that how you say it? Or all consuming?
I'm not going to lie, there's been quite a few months when I've said to him, do not come near me, because I want to know that this month my cramp is because a period's coming.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I want to know that I'm having a period and that there's not that dread, especially when she's off for the 6 weeks holidays.
Yeah,
I want to be present with her. I don't want to be thinking about
I mean that's kind of quite sensible for you and your mental health in a way, isn't it? Because otherwise you just overthink every single symptom. Oh, I've got a twitch in my eye, maybe I'm pregnant.
Yeah,
and then that's all you focus on.
That's all you focus on.
It's so consuming.
I mean, even this month I read early pregnancy symptom blogs as if I'm reading it for the first time.
Yeah.
And I do it every month.
With hope each time, right?
Like, just constantly, obsessively reading forums every night about where people are at 12 days past ovulation and, you know, and you all of this. It's really, so consuming.
Oh, it is. And you can really, really make yourself believe that it's happening this time, yeah. Can't you? Like, the amount you read, or believe that it's not happening either way. But it's, and also, like, the signs of being pregnant can also be the signs of miscarrying.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what's just so stressful for anybody trying.
Yeah.
Is that you can just go into such a hole with it.
Yeah.
Into a dark place.
Yeah.
So
I do find occasionally taking off the odd month and, yeah, saying, you can't come near me because, yeah, I'm obviously not going to waste his super sperm. I just want to know that, like, I can just not have to worry and think about and overanalyze. Mm. So they never actually called me with the results.
Oh.
Really strangely. And then I got to November and I was like, I never got those blood results. Because they did say it was going to take a while. So I thought, maybe they haven't got them yet. Anyway, I called up and they called me back. And they said, yes, you've tested positive for one of them, which is the lupus anticoagulant blood test, which means...
So they hadn't let you know?
No.
Okay.
But what I sort of think it was a good thing because once you get your test results back, you're supposed to wait 3 months and have the tests redone.
Right, okay. So it already
but because I'd already gone over the 3 months, I could have the test straight away.
Okay, I mean, quite good for anxiety.
Yeah, so I didn't have to worry about that and wait that 3 months to have another test. And then it did come back that, again, I was positive for this blood thing. So then my head goes into overdrive about this because it's a blood clotting condition. So then I'm on Google and then I'm just dreading. I'm not even now thinking about pregnancy and getting pregnant. I'm now thinking, am I going to die of a blood clot?
Just to add to everything.
Just
now
to add.
Now there's an issue with blood clotting.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Because when you look into it online, that's where your head goes. Then every sort of feeling and twinge, I'm like, is that a blood clot?
Oh, I just got a stitch in my heart.
Yeah, like, blood clot. What's going on?
Kerry, you and me are the same people, but like, honestly, Danny, my husband, he literally is like, why are you doing it to yourself? Why do you do it? And I'm like, I don't know, but literally I cannot help but go on Google.
Google is the worst ever.
It's honestly...
Google is the absolute worst.
Anything health related, never, ever Google.
No,
ever.
Never, never.
Because you're always going to be dying, always.
Even the other day, I was getting changed and Ivy was like, oh, what's that? And I had this massive black bruise, but I couldn't see it because I'm so bloated at the moment from Clomid. It's sort of like under my stomach, like just above my vagina. Yeah. This massive black patch. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Then I'm on Google, blood clot.
Oh, God.
I'm like, oh, for God. Turns out it's not. It's just from where I have acupuncture. What is she? And because I'm on blood thinners... I bruise easy.
Right, yeah.
But obviously I'm thinking, oh, God, should I go to A&E now? I've got a dark bruise and I've got a blood clot.
I think that's it.
And he's like, no.
No.
I'm sure it's fine. Hold on, maybe that's a sign of pregnancy.
Oh, God, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Then he's looking, he's like, look, there's pregnant people with bruising. I was like, oh, God.
No,
I can't cope with this.
It's just a spiral. It's a spiral.
So then they said, take baby aspirin.
Right.
This is probably the reason why you do fall pregnant, but your pregnancies don't stick.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm like, right, okay, not going to do...
Sorry, just quickly, you know you mentioned the word lupus. Does it mean you've got lupus?
Well, I've been tested now for lupus.
Yeah.
It does coincide that if you have lupus, you're more than likely going to have this blood condition.
Right, okay.
My results came back inconclusive, but lupus is so hard to get a diagnosis on.
Right.
Because you sort of really need to be having a flare-up.
Okay.
For it to show in your blood.
Yeah.
So you can't, it can take years to get, so that, yes, there's chances that I could actually have lupus.
But
just to throw that in the mix.
I can't add that in. Have we Googled it?
Don't actually have the headspace for that one at the moment.
Not
so we're
going to
put a pin in that.
I can just go over there.
I'm just going to go over there for now. You can deal with that with diet. And I know that as soon as I really focus on my diet and what I'm eating, like, my bones feel better because I got scanned as well for osteoporosis.
Yes, because you're quite a bone breaker, aren't you?
I sound like a state, don't I? Jesus Christ.
Honestly, you don't. If I listed all my health concerns, that would make you feel a lot better.
Yes.
Don't you worry.
I am a bone breaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, last year I broke my wrist. Previous to that, I've broke both ankles.
Oh, God. And do you have
quite a lot of toes? No.
Oh God, Danny's a toe breaker.
Yeah, I've broke quite a lot of toes because of the vitamin D. It's an estrogen. It's all sort of linked. Mm. And I do have a low AMH. Early menopause runs in with my nan, my mum. It sort of runs
Does
in my family. Yeah.
Right.
I do have a low bone density, but not as low as to come into that.
Okay. That category.
Bracket.
Yeah. Yay. Can cross that one off.
I still need to be careful.
Be careful.
Walking down the street. Yeah. But yes, don't have that. So they recommended for me to have baby aspirin to thin my blood.
Yeah.
And that will help the babies stick. The eggs, fertilise egg stick. So we started that in November.
Yeah.
December, I always take December off.
Right, okay, because you want to enjoy Christmas? Or?
Well, because, yeah, I want to enjoy Christmas, and my cycle always runs that my period's always due on Christmas Day.
We don't want to be getting that disappointment on Christmas Day.
So I want to know what I'm coming into with that, because I've done that one year when we tried, and it just ruined Christmas.
Oh, God, I can imagine. I can imagine. I bet you... And also, because of Ivy, you've got to try and put on a front and make it special
also
for her.
Also, as well, I find these... I find birthdays, I find Christmases the hardest part of the year.
Because it's kind of like almost grieving, right?
Oh, I will never forget...
I have a cry. Do you know what my mum does? If ever I'm crying, she goes, "Let it all out," and then it stops.
I will never forget what Elf, Ever in the Emptiness, said to me. She said,
"Oh, she lost a baby, didn't she? Had a stillborn,
didn't she?" And then, you know, she's got her little girl, and I know she's had her issues as well with trying for a second. And I'll never forget what she said to me. She said, "It's like you're standing on the sidelines, and you're seeing everyone else like." Level up and move forward with their life.
Mm.
And you're just there on the sidelines and you can't. And you're stuck. And you have in your head all these visions of Christmases with your kids telling your family.
Like that, yeah, I get that.
So for Christmas for me, when I have this picture in my head of Ivy with the sibling and then Christmas comes around and it's not that.
Again.
It is literally like a sucker punch.
Uh-huh.
I sometimes feel like I've been robbed of enjoying Christmases with her.
Well, you have.
It's hanging over me.
Yeah, of course. And the only time this is ever going to stop is either one, if you get that baby, or if you decide enough.
I've said this is the last year.
Yeah.
We've done it for so long. And I just feel like I have to, you know, like she's coming into, we'll be starting secondary school. And I know I'm going to be into a whole other whirlwind of parenting with that.
Yeah.
Especially because she wants to go to an all-girls school. So.
Oh, does she? Oh, wow.
Which I don't know how I feel about that. This has to be the last year. I have to give it everything. We have baby grows hanging in the bedroom. We have mood boards.
You've got your vision boards there. Like, come on,
every
universe.
Day I try and envision it. Reiki, reflexology, acupuncture.
Doing everything.
Everything that I can give. And, you know, like I've taken a massive step back, I think, from Instagram and work because I need to have times where I'm just relaxing and not putting pressure on myself.
Of
and that's what I've done this month and really taken my foot off the gas. So when we started baby aspirin for me, I was like, I'm going into it now with new eyes. This is the nugget.
Yeah.
And the reason of why we've not been able to fall pregnant.
Yeah. So you're kind of going in with that positive attitude of, right, this is it. This is the reason.
Like, even when I've spoken about it, I'm like, I know I sound delusional, but I know this is the month and this is going to happen for me. It's like, I have to talk it into existence.
Of course you do. And you have to just, if you didn't talk it that way to yourself, you would go into the negative place.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go there. You want to stay in this happy place, or try and stay in this positive place. Might not always be happy, but you know, the positive mental attitude rather than the negative side of things.
Yeah.
Because, oh God, everyone always says you've got to remain positive, and it's very, very difficult. It is so hard.
And do you know what? And I'm so grateful because I honestly feel like I don't know how I would feel about it if I didn't have the community on Instagram that I have, because like people don't even have to message and say anything. It's just so nice when people just acknowledge.
Yeah.
Or they offer, even if it's like advice that's unsolicited.
Yeah.
That it's only coming from a place of good intent.
Yeah.
And it's better advice than what I had from the doctor.
Yeah, exactly. But it, do you know, I sometimes do find that, like, someone will say something to me on Instagram. Like, I just had a random flare-up with, like, eczema on my eyes.
Oh, I saw,
or
yeah.
allergic reaction or something. I actually think it's stress. God, the advice from people. I was like, and the support of how many people have are also dealing with that. Yeah. And I was like, okay, good. I'm not alone. And it does. Yeah. It makes you feel like you're not alone in all of this, and that people go through this, and it's awful because you don't want to be like, you know, benefiting from other people going through it, but just to feel like you've got that support and that other people are feeling that pain and finding it hard, and
because it's so lonely.
Oh God,
it's so lonely.
Yeah,
like you just, and this is the thing with it as well, because it's secondary infertility, there's a lot of like misconstrued sort of like opinions on it, and everyone's like, but you've got one, like, aren't you just grateful you've got one? And it's like, but it's a whole different side of life that we as people who are suffering to, like, struggling to fall pregnant with their second or their even their third, they have their idea of what they wanted their life and their family to be like,
of course,
and to not have that,
to have it taken away from you, when, and it's not fair.
Yeah,
it is not fair.
It's no,
and when it's what you want, it doesn't make any difference whether you've already got one
but
child.
It's not even just my feelings and what I want. In I've also got Ivy, who is absolutely desperate.
I was just going to ask you that. Yeah, I was literally just going to ask you that. What
she's
desperate. She is. So she wants,
you know, like, and I talk really openly and I'm like, I'm doing the best I can. We're trying to get mummy's belly right. And she's like, is it right now?
Oh, bless
her. Is your belly right now? Is that why you're going to the hospital today, to get your belly right? Will you find out if it's right yet? If there's a baby in there.
Have you ever sat down with her and said it might not happen?
Yeah. And I make sure her life is so full in so many other ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, she's an only child, but you'd never know. She's an only child. She's the most, like, caring, kind-hearted little girl. She's so sociable.
Yeah. I think only children, there's something to be said for only children, because Cooper's an only child, and that's my choice.
Yes.
But he's the most caring little boy. I mean, he doesn't quite understand play fighting, because he's not got a sibling.
No, Ivy, like, doesn't. Ivy's like, oh my God, they've just done this.
Yeah, they've literally just jumped on each other. What?
Yeah.
He's quite sensitive.
Ivy's as well,
But I quite like that. Like, it's quite cute that he doesn't quite understand play fighting. But yeah, and that's another thing to add to, like, the stress of it for you is feeling that pressure that you want to give that, you know, for your little girl, and that's what she wants as well.
Oh, and God. Like, when I see her as well with, like, friends who have little ones, it's so hard.
Yeah, I can imagine. And
because it's like, I've always envisioned for her to have that.
So now, so you are how far into those, the Clomid, is that what you got? Clomid.
So I've got two rounds left this year. I've just finished a round, and which has resulted in a chemical pregnancy,
which is today,
which I just found out today,
this morning. So I it's all right. It's God, I mean, this is awful. Like, this is, I've
cried so much today. I was like, get it out your system, get it out your system.
No, it's good. This is like a therapy session. I've never more wanted to hug someone, and I can't, because I'm attached to some headphones and I'm round the side of the
desk.
Probably
better you don't.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
said, don't be nice.
Be
a bitch to me. But,
be a bitch.
Yeah,
I did a message Kerry this morning. I was like, listen, if this is too much for you, but Kerry, in true Kerry style, has come in. She wants to talk about it. She's putting her heart on her sleeve, which is incredible, Kerry. Like, I'm being nice to you. Sorry, I shouldn't be doing this. But, you know, the amount of women that are going to watch this and be so, so touched and appreciate you so much for sharing this story, it is going to make so many women feel less alone. And that's incredible in itself.
Yeah. No, I know. And that's why I was like, I could sit at home and I can sit and wallow. And this is it's not even like I could just eat what I want, because I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, so I've had all of the symptoms.
Yeah.
And then this morning they called up with my progesterone levels and basically said, like, they were so high. When's your, like, and I said, my period's come 3 days late. Mm-hmm. And they said, we think that you've
been
pregnant and it's the final bit just hasn't happened.
Yeah.
So it's just coming away, which is frustrating because this was the first month, because in January he was away for work, so that was a write-off. This was the first month we was putting everything into, it's the baby aspirin's going to work, and the same things happen. So it's like, what can we do now?
So now, are you going to do your, like, a little month break thing, or are you just gonna keep,
no,
you're
keep
gonna
going
to keep going?
I've got another round of Clomids.
Yeah.
I will do that again.
Yeah.
We know I'm releasing two eggs with that.
Yeah. So they're there.
So, yeah, we just go again.
Mm-hmm. And then, because, this might be me being completely unaware, but in terms of, like, IVF treatment,
yeah,
is there anything you can do on that side?
So we was actually planning on doing IVF last year.
Yeah.
Work and travel just sort of, like, took over.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really glad that we didn't. And the doctor said it was a good thing we didn't, because obviously we didn't know about the blood thing. And
yeah,
she said that it just wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
Because
The
problem is as well that whenever I do fall pregnant, I have to give myself heparin injections every day throughout the pregnancy to thin my blood.
Right, okay.
To make sure that it's viable.
Yeah, yeah.
And that there's enough blood rushing to it. So we have said that this year, like, I have no travel plans, unless I pop to my dad's in Spain, but because I have to put everything into this.
This is it.
I will be doing IVF. It's probably not something I'll document until afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
God, I think whenever I do, hopefully, which I'm determined that this is my year of what I will fall pregnant, I'll probably just end up staying indoors for 5 months and won't announce it. Like, I'm literally crowning.
Yeah,
by the way, guys.
Like, I'm in labour. Woohoo! We did it.
And I feel so bad saying that, because everyone is like, I feel like it's not just me on this journey, as sad as that sounds, because I have so much support from people on social media. It's like you want to tell your friends, and I feel like,
yeah,
I feel that way. Like, I'd want to tell them straight away, but I think for me, like, I'd have to.
You have to do,
yeah,
what is completely right for you, ultimately. And if that's not telling people, if it's,
yeah,
telling people, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people can be, like, really, really open with everything. Like, the day they do the pregnancy test.
Mm.
And that's fine. If that,
yeah,
works for them, if that's what they need to do, no problem. If you need to go and lock yourself away.
Yeah.
And just be on your own, or with your family.
Yeah.
Or just be on your own.
Quite happy just being in a hotel on my own the whole pregnancy.
Have you seen those, like, cabins that are just in the middle of nowhere?
That would be my dream.
Yeah, I am seriously considering going and locking myself away in one of them. I think my only thing is,
yeah,
I'd get too scared at night on my own.
Yeah.
And because I'm a bit scared of the dark.
I would be the same. I'm not the best,
yeah,
on my own.
Maybe if, like, I had a friend in a cabin next door, and then if I got scared, I could just,
yeah,
go in and be,
yeah,
like, hello, can I get in the bed with you, please?
I always feel better if I've got Ivy with me, like, I'm safe,
yeah,
for some reason.
That's exactly,
yeah,
the same with Cooper.
God, like, knows why.
I know.
Yeah.
You'll protect me.
Yeah.
You're dead. You can fight off an intruder. No, that's what I'm like with Cooper. I'm like, it's fine. Do you ever feel like that? Like, sometimes when I'm feeling anxious or sad or upset about anything, I just need a cuddle from Cooper.
Yeah.
I feel like he really regulates my, like, nervous system.
And I find it really weird because I feel like they're so in tune with it. Like, last night Ivy said, Mummy, tomorrow morning will you wake me up at 7? And I was like, why is that? She went, so I was sitting and talk with you in the kitchen.
Oh, that's just adorable.
And it's like, I did try wake up at 7. She did not want to wake up at 7.
Yeah.
She backtracked. But
I mean,
like,
don't
we
all do that?
She just sort of knew. And she woke up in the night. She was like, can you come get in my bed? She doesn't really do that anymore. And it's like, she just sort of sometimes, I feel like, knows.
I think they do. I think they're so, so aware of things, like,
yeah,
you learn so much, like, from therapy, like, my,
yeah,
therapist,
oh God, I'm
like,
so open with her, like,
oh,
when I was
amazing.
Having therapy, I did 10 months of that,
yeah,
she would be like, where are you going, or if I'd come back and my face would be an absolute wreck,
yeah,
she'd be like, why have you been upset? I'm like, oh, I just went to see the lady to talk about my feelings,
yeah.
And I had to pick her up from tennis early one day to drop her around to our neighbours because I had therapy and he was away with work. She was like, I've got to go now because my mum's got to go and see the person about her feelings.
Oh, I love it when they do that. It's like when you're in the toilet. Mummy, why
yes.
are you putting something up there?
Yes. Oh, God, yeah. Well, we had to have the period of chat because obviously it's TMI, certain stages are certain colours.
Yeah, oh my God.
And she was like, Mummy, why have you got poo in your pants?
Yeah, why is it brown? What's going on?
No.
Honestly, the first time Cooper saw me pulling a tampon out, Jesus Christ. I think I've traumatized that child.
Scarred him for life.
Yeah, I actually try not to do any form of feminine health things in front of him. I just don't think he needs to see that.
They're also so inquisitive as well now.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh,
she's literally like, what's that?
Where? Yeah.
Like,
so where does it go?
She's like, when my period starts, I'm not using one of those. I will use a pad. And I'm like, okay.
Okay, let's see.
I was like, what are you going to do when you want to go swimming?
Yeah.
She's like, what do you mean? It's like, you can't wear a pad in the swimming pool. Blow up like a big fat nappy.
You'll sink to the bottom.
Yeah, you can't do that. You're going to have to use a tampon, babes.
Oh, God bless her heart.
Yeah.
Kerry, we're at the end of our chat.
Oh.
I mean, to be honest, I feel like I don't want to be nice to you anymore.
Don't be nice to me.
I just don't feel like I want to make you keep crying. I don't want to be the person.
All right. However, it's been like a therapy session, so I appreciate it.
It's so good to let your emotions out. Like, and I'm so proud of you that you should.
And if there's one thing that I can tell anyone that's going through it is just to allow your feelings.
Yeah.
Don't try and be okay. Yeah. Sit and feel them, because it's worse when you don't.
I was going to ask you what advice you would give, but that's...
And advocate for yourself.
Yeah. And also do research.
Do research.
And go and demand things.
And let the feelings in.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Kerry.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast. Make sure to hit the subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode. We'll be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.